Matthew chapter 28. It's on page 835 in our church Bibles, Matthew 28. And we're reading the last few verses, so from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 28, from verse 16. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Amen. Some say 3,000, others say 7,000. The Bible is so full of God's promises that it's not really possible to count them. Regardless of how many there are, whether 3,000 or 7,000, each and every promise is worthy of our attention, worthy of our appreciation. But this evening, we come to what is most certainly a wonderful promise. Matthew 28, verse 20. "Behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is a promise that has meant a great, great deal to believers ever since it was spoken. And one such person it meant a great deal to was a man called John G. Patton. He was a Christian missionary sent to a set of small islands just off the Australian coast in the 1800s. And after a measles epidemic that killed thousands on the island, for which he and the other missionaries were blamed, he wrote this: "During the crisis, I felt generally calm and firm of soul, standing with my whole weight on this promise, 'Lo, I am with you always.'" He continues, "What a precious promise. How often I adore Jesus for it and rejoice in it. Blessed be his name." And I would say this evening, friends, it would be to the benefit of each and every one of us tonight if we could stand with our whole weight upon this promise, adoring Jesus for it and rejoicing in it. Four things we want to see from this fairly small promise, but it packs a great punch. So four things. Firstly, the importance of the promise. The importance of it. "Behold," Jesus begins. "Behold," or "surely," or "lo, I am with you always." In other words, we should note well this promise. That word, "behold," it's there to draw our attention to what follows. We're to sit up when we hear this. Our ears are to be on red alert. It's as if Jesus is saying, "Now listen up. I'm going to tell you something really, really important." And when you think of the context of Jesus speaking here, this is a vitally important promise he's giving. He has just given what we call the Great Commission. He's been speaking to his disciples for the last time in Matthew's Gospel, and he's just about to ascend into heaven. And he's given them an incredible task, a tremendously difficult mission. We read that Great Commission. He sent them to go and make disciples of all nations. So he's given these common, simple men the greatest commission ever, a command to go and conquer the world for Christ, a world that just days previously crucified the one giving this command. I think we can imagine these 11 men overwhelmed at the size of this task, looking at each other, how on earth can we go and make disciples of all nations, men? They could well be thinking, we can't actually make disciples. Only God the Holy Spirit can change a human heart. We could share the gospel, but we can't make people accept it. We can tell the truth of God's word, but we can't make a person believe it. Unless they be crushed under the task laid upon them, Jesus gives this promise, behold. Pay attention to this. Take notice of this. Make this your focus. I am with you. And friends, we would do well to realize something of the importance of this ourselves. Just as it would be hopeless for these disciples to evangelize without this promise of Jesus being with them, so it's hopeless for us to try and do anything for Jesus without this promise. We could witness until we're blue in the face. We could evangelize until the day's end, but only God can regenerate a human being. And only God can give the new birth. I think this is especially helpful for parents, grandparents concerned about the souls of those entrusted to your care. What in the world of any spiritual value can we do without this behold? Without this Jesus promising to be with us. And so we need to hear this, don't we? We can't think too much of this promise. It stirs up our hearts. It lifts our spirits. It gives us courage and boldness as we go out into the world. Jesus promising to be with us. And he's not changed since giving this promise. And this promise has not changed. Behold, lo, surely I am with you. The importance of the promise. Let's think then of the person behind the promise. The person behind the promise. Because we live in a world full of promises, don't we? So many promises made, but very few kept. Our politicians make a lot of promises. Companies and manufacturers make all kinds of pledges to win our business. In relationships, men and women pledge each other all kinds of things just to get what they want. But we know, don't we, that promises are broken all the time. And there are no guarantees with people. There's too many things outside our control. Countless things can go wrong. And even when we're genuinely intent on keeping a promise, even if we're really trying with all of our hearts to keep a promise, sometimes something comes up and we're not able to keep our word. Well, what about this promise? Well, this isn't the promise of some weak, unreliable man. Listen to the promise again. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you. And the way it's written means that the word I is emphasized. The word order here. I am with you. I myself am with you, Jesus is saying. Now, who is this I? Well, it's Jesus, of course, but But remember what he's just said a few verses earlier. Back in verse 18, what did he say about himself? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's the one who's with us. The one who has all authority in heaven and earth, Jesus Christ. The one who has authority over every enemy, every disease, and every calamity. And he's promising. He's the one promising to be with his disciples. So Jesus is behind this promise. Jesus Christ, the second person of a never-lying God. He gives this promise. It's an absolutely truthful and reliable promise. He is able to do all that he promises. Doesn't that give this promise infinite value? Tremendous significance. There's a world of a difference between this promise and the best promise anyone here on earth can make you. There's a world of a difference. And the difference is in the person behind the promise. With Jesus, a promise made is as good as a promise kept. The person behind the promise. The importance of the promise and the person behind it. What then about the heart of the promise? The heart of this promise. What is it that lies at the heart of the promise? Well, is the heart not those four simple words at the very center of it? Jesus promising his disciples, I am with you. I am with you. He's giving them this great assurance. Men, I know the task is hard, but you're not going to do this alone. You will never be alone for a moment. And you can always count on me to be there with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Other people may leave you. Not me, Jesus is saying. I am with you. Not physically, of course. He's about to leave them physically very soon. He's about to ascend into glory. But he's promising that he'd be with them spiritually, isn't he? He's promising that by his Spirit, he will be with them. And in some ways, that's more wonderful than his physical presence. Because his physical presence couldn't be with all the disciples all the time. There's limitations to a physical presence. But by his Spirit, he could be present simultaneously with as many as he chose. And it's not, I have been with you. In many ways, that would have been good enough for these men to know that Jesus had been with them. But it's not that. Nor is it, I will be with you. And again, that would be fantastic to know that Jesus is saying, I will be with you. What's the heart of the promise? I am with you. Right here. Right now. I am with you. One preacher, J.C. Ryle, says this, it's impossible to conceive words more comforting, more strengthening, more cheering, and more sanctifying than these words. I am with you. Parents are not always with you. Children are not always with you. Friends are not always with you. Pastors are not always with you. Boyfriends, girlfriends are not always with you. But he is. He is. I think again of the one speaking these words. This is Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. The one who's described at the very beginning of Matthew's Gospel as Emmanuel. Which means God with us. And isn't that title is one that's especially associated with this time of year, Christmas time? Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that the title that's at the very heart of this promise? I am with you, Emmanuel. I don't think there's anything more important for you to hear this evening as you face your own set of circumstances, whatever they might be, than to hear God saying to you, I am with you. I sent my son into this world as a little baby. Jesus, he left heaven to come into this world with all that involved so that he could be Emmanuel, God with us. And when we face challenges that are far too big for us and tasks that are way too difficult for us, is it not wonderful to have this promise? Is it not tremendous to hear God whisper this in our ears? I am with you. Jesus is with us in the battles and in the trials, in the defeats and in the victories, in the daily humdrum tasks, in our weaknesses and in our strengths, in our failures. He's with us. He's with us to guide us and rebuke us. He's with us to encourage and teach us. He's with us to instruct us. And he's with us, think of the context, very especially when we go out with the gospel, isn't he? When you're with your friends who are lost spiritually, and you have this opportunity to speak to them about Jesus, and it just comes at you, remember this promise, I am with you. What wonderful words of encouragement. I hope you are encouraged with this. You're not alone. As a Man United fan, it pains me greatly to say what I'm about to say. But I have to say, Liverpool's theme song is a good one. And it's true of every Christian, isn't it? You'll never walk alone. You have not been alone, and you will not be alone. No matter how difficult things may get, no matter how lonely you might feel, who's with you? No matter how scared or how nervous you might be about speaking a word for him, who's with you? He's with us in sorrow, and he's with us in joy. He's with us in sickness, and he's with us in health. He's with us in life, and he's with us in death. He's with us in time, and he's with us in eternity. The heart of this promise, does it not give you heart? The heart of this promise, I am with you. What then about the scope of the promise? We've thought about its importance. We've thought about the person behind it. We've thought about the heart of the promise. What about the scope? The scope of this promise. Because perhaps you're thinking, well, all that's well and good. It is a lovely promise. I can't argue. It's a lovely promise. But surely this is a promise for the disciples of Jesus. It's a promise he gave for there and then. It's not really for me. And it's certainly not for me in the way that I am. It's not for us today. My friend, you could not be more wrong. Because this is not just for these 11 disciples. Just as the Great Commission is for all those who follow after Jesus, so this promise is for all those who follow after Jesus. You can't detach this promise from the Great Commission. The scope of the promise is so broad. It's for disciples of Jesus in every place and at every time. But it's not only broad in that sense. It's not only broad in terms of the people for whom it's for. But is it not broad also in terms of the thing promised? Listen again to it. Behold, I am with you always, 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 to the end of the age. This is a promise of unbroken presence. Jesus never goes on holiday. He never goes on a trip. He never backs off. He never needs some time out. He never seeks some time on his own. I am with you always. Literally, Jesus says, I am with you all the days. All the days. And I think that's just wonderful. Because sometimes we have good days. Other days we have bad days. But we never have Christless days. We have days of failure and misery, but not days without him. We have days of sunshine and days of shadow. And we have days of prosperity and days of adversity. We have days of happiness and health. And we have days of tragedy and death. And he's with us in them all. In all the experiences of life, he's with us. It's a magnificent promise, isn't it? There's a story of another preacher, G. Campbell Morgan, speaking to a woman 85 years of age, and he was reading this passage to her, and when he finished it, he said, you know, that's a passage with a great promise. And she looked at him, and she said, it's not a promise, preacher. It's a fact. It's a fact, and it is a fact, friends. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We never live an hour without Jesus Christ. He's with us all the days to the very end of the age. As long as the world lasts, he's with us. He'll be with us continually to the end of the age to do us good and to bring us safely to everlasting joy. Can you see how wide and broad is the scope of this promise? This is a promise for the lonely among us. This is a promise for those bereaved of loved ones. This is a promise for those who feel utterly isolated. This is a promise for those who are in the valley of the shadow of death, worried and fearful about dying. This is a promise for those who are depressed and anxious and emotionally all over the place. This is a promise for the little child, and it's also a promise for the seasoned elder. And this is a promise for frazzled parents. But there is a limit to this promise. The scope isn't infinite. Because this is not a promise for the unbeliever. It's not a promise for the atheist. It's not a promise for the cynic. It's not a promise for the person who might be church-going, might be fairly upright, but yet not yet a Christian. If you've never exercised faith in the giver of this promise, well, then it's not a promise for you. These are not your words of comfort. He is not with you. You have no promise of his withness, of his presence, of his nearness, of his tenderness. Does that not alarm you? Does it not worry you? Does it not concern you? It should. You need him to live, and you certainly need him to die. And this verse calls on you to seek this one and to believe the gospel for the first time, and so as to enjoy his presence in your life. Is that not something you want for yourself? Are you really strong enough, wise enough, good enough to get through life on your own without his presence alongside and within you? The scope is not infinite. One of the most powerful paragraphs in John G. Patton's autobiography. It describes his experience of hiding in a tree. This is a man I mentioned at the very start who loved this promise. He stood with his whole weight on this promise. The promise would come back several times in his life. And here's one of the incidents. The year was 1862, and there was hundreds of frenzied natives hunting for his life. There was a friendly chief who urged him to flee under cover of darkness and hide in a large tree. So off Patton goes and climbs the tree, and from the tree he could see down below and he could hear these natives beating the bushes, frantically searching for him. And he writes, "I heard the frequent discharging of muskets and the yells of the savages. Yet I sat there on one of the branches, safe in the arms of Jesus. Never in all my sorrows did my Lord draw nearer to me and speak more soothingly to my soul. Alone, yet not alone. My comfort and joy sprang from the promise. Behold, I am with you always." Isn't that exactly it? Alone, yet not alone. And Patton himself concludes his account of the incident by asking a question which every heart should give serious consideration this evening. He asks, "If thus thrown back upon your own soul, alone, all alone, in the midnight, in the bush, in the very embrace of death itself, have you a friend who will not fail you then? Have you this friend who will not fail you, not now, not then, not ever? Have you this friend?" Amen.